It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our next two guests onto the Business Bunker show for today. We'll start with Nettie, because we normally do.
I forget Nettie's a guest.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lovely way.
Yeah, she's like
just
a fixture.
She
does remind you of a chair somewhat, doesn't she?
I feel so special.
You do now, don't you?
So special. Yeah. I keep rocking up. You keep getting me to bring
See, she's
people.
The rocking chair.
You're family and you're one of us now. That's all I want to sing to you.
I don't know what to say. Well, last month I didn't come.
We missed you.
We actually sent out a search party for you when you weren't here.
Did you?
Some bloke called Chris was wandering around here. Yeah, Chris was wandering. No, excuse me, Chris, where's Nettie?
I thought every now and again we should send him out, but he had a really good show.
He did indeed. And it's great to have you back. So, Nettie, tell us, Happy New Year to you,
first of all.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us once again on the Business Bunker show. You've brought an interesting guest with us this time, haven't you? You've got to be on your best behaviour this week.
Well, I can only try. Yeah. I can only try.
I know, it's not working very well so far.
Brought my boss with me.
I know.
Now, that's never happened before, has it, Brad?
It hasn't.
And now I've found out that you've never been on the radio before. So if he doesn't enjoy this, I may not have a good
2018. You could be in trouble. You could be in big trouble here, Nettie.
I know.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself? Give him a big build-up and then maybe you'll get away with it.
Yeah. Well, what do I say? This is Brad. Mm. He's our MD at Rift. He's in charge of everything, Rift.
Yeah. Cool.
He took over as MD last January, and he's absolutely delighted to come and join us today on the radio. Look at that face. To talk about Rift and all the different things that we do. And obviously this month is tax return month.
It's a biggie for us. All hands to the pump.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody digging their shoeboxes out with their receipts in.
Absolutely. And there's also other things going on, such as Kiba, that we can talk about and so on and so forth. So, lots going on at Rift.
Thank you for that intro.
I'll let you talk to Brad.
Thank you. Brad, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thanks for the invite, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm glad we could invite you, and I'm glad you came along, and I hope you do enjoy your first experience of radio. This is radio like no other radio, obviously, so it's of not much use to you anywhere else, but do enjoy it. Brad, can you kick off by telling us a little bit about you? We're going to talk about Rift and all the things you do, and there's a lot of things that you do in Rift these days. We'll talk about that in a minute. Give us a little bit of background into you. What's your background? And your interests outside of Rift?
Okay, so I started my career as a management consultant.
Right, okay.
Working for Accenture, big global company.
Mm.
I was employee 1 billion, or whatever it was at the time, and I was working with a lot of clients. I'd worked there for about 10 years,
and
I was doing it the commute.
Right.
So I was in Faversham commuting up to London,
and
it's soul destroying.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my mum started the business, Rift, back in 99, and for about 2 years before I joined, she'd been asking me to go and join the firm. And I'd always sort of thought about carving a career for myself in London. We had a house there for a long time, then moved out to start a family. But I got to a sort of that crossroads in life. And started to then take more of an interest in that family sort of business and saw such potential of what we were doing. We were scratching the surface of what we could be doing. We'd started to get some really good material out and there was a really niche market for what we were doing. So I took the leap and joined the family business. That was sort of 7 years ago.
Right, okay.
Took over as MD January 17.
Last year.
That's where we are now.
Yeah.
And it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aside from the two children, obviously, if they're listening.
But it's interesting, though, isn't it? Being involved in a family business, one of the nice things is that you had a career before that. Yeah, because sometimes you see people involved in a family business that have not ever worked anywhere else, and that can be quite difficult. Then.
I think so. They know no different.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it was still hard for me having to prove myself.
Mm.
You know, so when I joined, I was employee number 34. Mm. We've now got 170.
Right.
So going into a very small business, and particularly going from Accenture, where it was hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
But I still had to prove myself. I still had to show that I was worthy of becoming the MD and leading the business and taking it forward to the next.
And that's always difficult in a family setting, isn't it?
Because
people assume all kinds of things about why you've got the job that you've got.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what are your interests outside of work?
So two children, 8 and 9 and 4.
Right, okay.
Sorry, Freddie. So they take up huge amounts of time.
Yeah.
But they're at a great age. Freddie's getting into a lot of his sports now.
Right.
So ferrying him around.
Touchline dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Bella just goes with the flow. She'll go wherever Freddie goes.
Cool.
So that takes up a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's family.
What's your favourite sport yourself?
Love watching rugby.
Mm-hmm.
As a sport, I played hockey.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Throughout school, throughout university. So trying to get Freddie into that.
My oldest son was a National League hockey player.
Yes.
So I've never, I've actually played hockey twice in my life. Yeah, both when I was very old, and my scoring rate is immense. Yeah, my scoring average is one goal every 5 minutes I've ever played.
And how many minutes have you played?
That's 5.
That's because he was. That's because he was in the goal.
No, it wasn't.
Own goal.
but my oldest son was a big hockey player and played hockey for many, many years. He's retired now. That's how old I am.
Oh,
he's retired.
Yeah.
Brad, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell us and tell the listeners about the types of different things that Rift Group do, because mm-hmm. you've got a range of businesses. And as you identified, you know, when you joined the business, you saw the potential to do lots of things. But some of the interesting things you do are quite niche businesses, aren't they? Or you do things in a niche area. Yeah.
So our core business has all been around these tax refunds for people who travel to a temporary place of work. Mm. So lots of construction workers, lots of armed forces personnel. They're our two biggest sectors.
Yeah.
But it's a real niche area.
Mm.
So it's all about people who use their own vehicle and drive to a temporary place of work.
Yeah.
And they don't get reimbursed the full 45p per mile.
Right.
So lots of employers do pay that, but many don't.
Yeah.
And that's where we step in. We help individuals understand what they're entitled to and help them claim refunds. Typically, we go back 4 years and we get about £600 to £800 per year. So the first claim is about £2,500.
Okay, that's cool. So are those claims with their employers, or are they mostly self-employed people that can claim it back from HMRC, as it were?
So all of it's claimed back from HMRC.
Okay.
Which is great. Mm. So it's all overpaid tax.
Right, okay.
In essence. Mm. But a lot of the people are PAYE.
Yeah.
But they just don't get reimbursed the full allowance.
Right.
Obviously, self-employed people, and particularly coming up to January 31st, tax return deadline day. I've got a few stats that I'll throw at you.
Yeah, go for
it. In a bit.
I like a stat.
So there's lots of people. So 11.4 million people have to do a self-assessment tax return each year.
Wow.
Any ideas how many people missed the deadline?
11.3 million.
Oh, I'm loving the quiz.
Yeah.
40%.
I need a number. No, that's way too high.
Yeah, yeah. 200,000.
Oh, 100,000. Let's go higher.
Nettie, you want to have a go?
I reckon it's somewhere in the middle.
It's 840,000.
Really? Don't fill it in time.
Who missed the deadline, yeah. So there were some new fines introduced as well.
Mm.
People are aware of that. So if you miss the deadline, it's a £100 instant fine, even if you owe no money.
Yep.
Or even if HMRC owe you money.
Yep.
You get £100. So that's £84 million that HMRC earned.
In inverted commas.
What a great business model.
So we go back to willpower.
Yeah.
Why are people
not
doing
it? Yeah.
I think it's all a fear of dealing with HMRC.
Yeah, I'm absolutely right. Absolutely. You couldn't be more right if you tried. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? Is so many of us are bad at paperwork anyway.
Yeah.
So many of us are bad at arithmetic and adding things up. And then when you add on top of that, you're terrified of doing the wrong thing and getting on the wrong side. My old dad, bless him, I lost my dad in the middle of last year. And my dad had a building company for years and years and years and years and years. But he was also disabled and had been disabled from birth. And he was deaf. So he struggled with, you know, stuff like that. And he was so mortified that he would get on the wrong side of the tax authorities, especially working in construction, because back in the day, the tax people hated people in construction, because you had, you know, the black stuff and all that stuff going on where people weren't paying their taxes. My dad used to go and pay his taxes 8 months in advance, and he paid it in cash, so he knew that they had it. And HMRC used to get really annoyed with him when he'd turn up at a local tax office and offer to pay his tax in advance. But he was terrified of getting it wrong. And I think you're absolutely right, Brad, you know. And, but then how do 800,000 people miss the deadline? It's not as if they don't know, is it?
No.
They definitely get notified.
Well, do you have any thoughts on, you know, I mean, so many people in the last week have been going, oh, tax return, Bonnie, and I must do my account. So everybody knows. Do you have any thoughts on how they actually managed to miss the deadline? Is it because they've forgotten and haven't done it, do you think? Or is it because they keep leaving it and leaving it and leaving it until the last minute, and then all of a sudden they realise they don't have all the data, or, you know, they can't fill it in or whatever, or, you know, it just takes too long? What do you think?
So I think a lot of people, if you put a deadline in front of them, they work to that.
Yeah, and so
they'll hold on and hold on and hold on. And there'll be lots of people who then suddenly circumstances will come in and they'll miss that deadline because hospital, whatever it could be, just personal circumstance gets in the way.
Yeah.
I think there are also other people that just genuinely don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so they know that deadline's looming. They get there and they still haven't figured out what to do and it just lapses. But the fines are incredible. So after 3 months, if you still haven't sorted your tax return out, you start incurring £10 fine per day.
Per day?
For the next 90 days.
Blimey.
So if you then get to 6 months, that's £1,000 fine.
Right.
You then get another £300.
It's a lot of support money for HMRC, this, isn't it?
If you still go on, and if you go for a year, it's another £300, so it's £1,600 as a fine just for missing that deadline. And even if you don't owe any money, so you might be there going, I don't owe them anything, so I don't need to submit tax return. But unfortunately, if HMRC have asked you...
You have to. Yeah.
Very little you can do about that.
I suppose I think the question is how can we support those 800,000 to support their taxes? How can we do that?
So there's... there's lots of companies like ours that will provide that service. I think there's a wider education piece, and HMRC, I think, are trying to get there. They're moving a lot of stuff digitally. So they have a big campaign around making tax digital.
Yep.
So it's about individuals having their own online tax account, a bit like an online bank account.
Yeah.
They are several years behind that curve of the banks. But I think they've got such a complex legacy set of systems that trying to get those to talk to each other is so complicated.
Yep.
And that's what's been holding them back, plus all the political side that they have to do.
Sure. Yeah.
I also think they've suffered in the past with a PR sort of issue. So if you think back a few years ago, there were all the billboards with the eyes just peering out of you, saying, "We're coming to get you."
Yeah.
So from the instant that, so no one likes HMRC.
Absolutely.
Because of that attitude of "We're coming to get you." They've started to soften that. So campaigns this year all around farmyard animals sort of prodding you. But they've got a long way to go.
Sure.
In terms of, I think, getting people on side and people wanting to deal directly with HMRC. So if people aren't confident about dealing directly, then they need to either use a friend, a family, or a service that can keep
Let's talk about the service that Rift offer. Give us an overview of the kind of things that you can provide to people.
So right from the outset, we'll have an online form, just a simple questionnaire to see whether you actually need to do a tax return.
Right.
So you can just go on there. It's on our RIF refund site, and you can simply click through, and you'll know one way or another whether you need to do a tax return.
Okay.
So that's part one, and that's obviously free to use, and that'll give you some confidence whether you need to do one or not. And then we will do a tax return service. So last year we processed or did 45,000 tax returns.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So we know how to do a tax return.
That's handy.
So we do them a bulk, we do them very quickly. we know what we're looking for. Mm. And when you think about doing a tax return, there's all manner of things you have to take into consideration, people's incomes, how much tax they've already paid. And there's lots of people who fall into the category of needing to do a tax return that might not know.
Right.
So you've got your standard sort of self-employed individual, they all know they have to do one. But you start to get a few other people that sort of creep into the net. And I think this is going to come more and more, will be people who have an income from things like selling stuff on eBay.
Yep, sure.
So it's a little side project.
Yep.
Airbnb becoming more prevalent.
Yep.
Of people renting out their houses, getting an income. They don't see that as an income.
No, exactly.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
It is.
But if they're starting to earn over £2,500, that's money that HMRC want declared and tax paid on it.
Yep.
There's individuals, so if you or your partner earn over £50,000 and are still claiming child benefit allowance, that will start to need to be paid back.
Right.
So you'll have to do a tax return if you're still claiming that child benefit.
Right.
You have to declare that on a tax return. So there's lots and lots of little nuances of people who start to get picked up.
Mm.
And then if HMRC just decide they want to look at your affairs,
yep,
because they think you've underpaid tax in the past,
They'll
issue a tax return.
Absolutely. Cool. So, 45,000. Nice. okay, so you can do tax returns for people. And it really is, with Brad saying that you could, if you don't do it and you continually don't do it, you can end up paying £1,600 to HMRC for just missing the deadline. And you still got to pay the tax. It's not as if you get away with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's not a bargain.
Yeah,
you really
need to do it. So, paying a specialist to do it is really the answer, really, isn't it?
So I've got an interesting client we had, came to us in October last year, missed all the deadlines, was £1,300 in fines. He came to us October, didn't know what he was doing, buried his head in the sand.
Right.
So we helped gather all the information he had. We then uncovered that he actually had a refund as part of what he was doing.
Right.
So we cleared all of that off. So come December, I think on the 23rd, got everything, we submitted to HMRC, and we got him a refund that not only cleared off his £1,300 fine, it also left him with a refund of £1,500.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
So there is money there
that
HMRC won't publicise.
No, absolutely.
Title to.
Yeah.
And I think using in that sort of, it might be an isolated case. I'm not saying we get refunds for everyone, but there's money that you can claim back for that you probably don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact is, if you haven't paid attention to your tax affairs, you don't know what situation you're in. You might owe more, but you might not. Yeah, and that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very clear from HMRC that you as a taxpayer are responsible for your tax affairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they are not there to mother you.
Yeah.
They're there to get that tax.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not going to tell you what you can claim, basically. Absolutely. But you are, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Because, as you said, you started your business in a niche business, helping people reclaim money that was owed to them for travelling to places of work. Tell us about some of the other things that the Rift Group does, Brad.
Yeah, so we started to think about how we might diversify, because it's such a niche area.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we wanted to grow the group. So two key areas then came out. Mm. One was R&D tax credits.
Yep.
And the other was Rift Accounting.
Yep.
So both of them operating. So accounting is known about. We've had accountants for a long time.
Mm.
But we looked around and thought there's a better way providing this sort of service.
Mm.
So going with ClearBooks, so accounting, online accounting software from the start, and just making ourselves far more savvy and supporting businesses more than what we saw as the traditional accountants of we'll see you once a year and you'll give us your books and we'll tell you how much you owe and the tax you have to pay and it will all be hidden fees. You won't know how much it's going to cost. So trying to be upfront from the outset, monthly fees, and then the key USP for us was around a quarterly business review.
Right. Okay.
So actually, really working with the businesses to make them successful.
Right.
Because ultimately, if they're successful, they'll be in business longer.
Right. Yeah.
We'll be their accountant for longer.
Absolutely.
And it's win-win.
Yeah.
So that was a real key drive, and hence Netty sort of leading that with Chris to really work with local businesses and make them successful.
Absolutely.
And then our R&D tax credits was a real shift from sort of working with a B2C community going to B2B. And that was interesting in itself. We had a huge amount of lessons learned in that space, trying to apply the same models that work for B2C to B2B. It just doesn't cross over, and that was really interesting from an outsider's perspective. Living it at the time wasn't, but in hindsight, it was great business sort of experience to go through. This is a really excellent scheme. And HMRC do publicise this a little bit more, but it's keeping in line with the sense of getting a tax refund back. So we know how to work with HMRC. We know there are refunds available. So R&D tax credits is all about working with innovative companies and helping them recover money they spend on that product development.
It's interesting, isn't it? I Rift quite a while ago, now a few years ago now, did an R&D tax refund for me. Which worked very well. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it, about R&D tax credits. It's something that the government are very keen on. But when you tell people, they don't always quite believe it. You know, would you like some cash back from the tax man? And they go, yeah, really? But it is. And I read a statistic once, and you may have better stats than this because I make a lot of mine up, that the government estimate that for every £1 million they return in tax credits, they make £4 million in new investments and new tax takes. So that's why they've extended the scheme and started to publicise it more. But it's surprising, isn't it, how many people don't think that they do R&D unless they've got someone in a white coat in a lab.
Exactly that.
Yeah,
and I think one of the real untapped areas that we're hoping to work a lot more with is the construction sector. So these construction companies deal with problems day in, day out. But they just see it as part of what they do. They build stuff, they do stuff, they solve problems. They don't see that as R&D because they don't see it as developing
the product. They didn't do it in a lab. Absolutely.
So that's a really interesting space to be operating in. And it's really great working with a lot of really interesting, dynamic businesses who are doing some really interesting, innovative stuff.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Get some money back.
Talking about that as well, kind of tying things together, when you were talking about ClearBooks, Tim Foraker, the founder of ClearBooks, was on the radio show 2 years ago. Tim's taken a sabbatical from ClearBooks now because he's working on this really, really interesting project. I don't know if you've seen
it's
this
the
project.
Cards, isn't it? It's
the card. It's where your entire business operates off of one credit card. And as far as I understand it, the idea behind it is every time you spend everything, it updates your books instantly when you spend the money.
I think that's the end goal.
Isn't it? The end goal is that as a business, it's only for businesses, for small businesses, is that you have a card and then you spend your card, you use it online or do whatever, and it just updates your books as you spend it.
So it's like a feeder, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ClearBooks bit is a feeder in where it starts to work its way through, just like your bank does.
Yeah, amazing. Shoebox sales could fall through the floor. If you're in shoeboxes, get out now.
It's interesting, wasn't it? Because we had Phil on, didn't we? It October time with ClearBooks? And he was saying the same thing, that people cannot keep avoiding this whole software bit. And it works the same with R&D. It's so much easier if they've got that stuff and they work with our guys and know exactly what information we want them to keep separately in their accounts.
I think the world is moving far more digitally. HMRC have held back for so long, but now they have this huge agenda making tax digital for individuals and for businesses. And whilst that may have been put back a couple of years, because I think it's such a complicated thing they're trying to do, it will happen, and the quicker every business, every individual embraces that, the better for everyone.
Brad, can I ask, you came into the company.
Yeah.
Was your vision the same as the vision that was already in the centre of the business? And where are you taking it now?
My mum, I don't know if you've ever met my mum. She's hugely entrepreneurial. Trying to sort of contain that
She might listen.
That was very democratic.
All of those brilliant ideas.
So
the vision, it's really hard to say because I think when I joined, there wasn't a 5-year plan. There wasn't anything. We were going year to year, and I found an old presentation we did the first year I joined, and just looking at the numbers that we were doing, so like celebrating, we had done 5,000 claims. I mean, down 45,000. It's just a totally different beast from what it was to what it's become. So I think where it will go. So my mum's the chair. She's still very heavily involved, and she's almost an ideas factory. Mm. So she will come up with lots and lots of ideas and throw them at the wall.
And do you control
we'll catch
her?
Them. No.
You can't control ideas, people.
No,
you
exactly. Yeah.
But what you can do is take them and very quickly work out whether they're a viable idea or not. And so we now are trying to sort of have that sort of rapid turnaround. Mm. Here's an idea. Let's go. Let's explore it. Let's see if there's any business mileage in it. And if there is, we'll invest more. Then we'll invest more.
Interesting.
Or if there's none, let's kick it to the curb, and then and another one is bound to come out. So it's about constantly managing those ideas.
And being the CEO, has it been what you thought it was going to be?
I guess I was being groomed, shall we say.
And that's the way it should be, isn't it?
Exactly.
To be honest with you, that's the way it should be with all these companies.
For the year beforehand, I was very much sort of prominent and sort of leading it, albeit behind the scenes. So I was making a lot of the decisions, sort of shaping where we were going, the teams we had around us and what we were trying to do. So that year sort of in the shadows enabled me just to, in that first year, just carry on through where we were heading. So there weren't any big shifts. It's not the sort of company that needs to make those big dramatic changes. We're on a very good path. So it's all about how do we maintain that as a growing company. So now with 170 staff, it's 170 peoples to feed, keep their mortgage going.
Absolutely.
That's a quite big responsibility. So that aspect of it I probably was unprepared for. So that additional pressure to make sure that we're still keeping everyone in a job. And that's when you talk about, is it a daily struggle? Every day is a struggle to make sure that people stay motivated. We're keeping on that focus, keeping on that right trajectory.
How do you overcome stuff?
It's a coaching session.
No, because I find it really interesting. Because to have a leader like you, I want to know what makes you do what you do. How do you overcome stuff?
So, overcome the challenges.
Whatever.
So we've got a great team as our directors. So we work very closely together. It helps that we're all in the same location, and we will meet every day just to go through whatever the challenges are. So that's one aspect. I have a mentor as well, who I bounce ideas off, who is just that sounding board to go, am I doing the right thing? In that sort of safe space, who knows the business, but who can also then just say, stop doing what you're doing, ask these questions and all that sort of thing. So,
love it.
Brad, thank you so much for that. Sadly, we've kind of run out of time. We're right at the end of the show. But Brad Post, Managing Director of Recruit, thank you so much for joining us
on the
Business
Bunk
Show. It's been an absolute pleasure and a fascinating discussion. We've had loads of tweets while you were on the air. I'm just going to read one because I know a bit about the background to this, and it's from Chris Hyde. He says, I agree with Brad from Rift Accounting. HMRC have been had a poor reputation in the past, and it's not been helped when you get snotty letters when it's not your fault. I happen to know because Chris rang me late one night saying, I've just been threatened with court by HMRC for not paying my tax, and I've paid it. And as it was, HMRC had actually credited it to the wrong place, and they did actually apologise to him, but they were quite brutal up front. So, Brad, thank you so much for that. And sorry to have to cut you a bit short, but we are right out of time now. I've got a couple. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our next two guests onto the Business Bunker Show for today. We'll start with Nettie, because we normally do.
I forget Nettie's a guest.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lovely way.
Yeah, she's like
just
a picture.
She
does remind you of a chair somewhat, doesn't she?
I feel so special.
You do now, don't
so
you?
So special. Yeah. I keep rocking up. You're getting me to breathe.
See, she's the rocking chair.
You're family and you're one of us now. That's all I want to sing to you.
I don't know what to say. Well, last month I didn't come.
We missed you.
We actually sent out a search party for you when you weren't here.
Did you?
Some bloke called Chris was wandering around here. Yeah, Chris was wondering. No, excuse me, Chris, where's Nettie?
I thought every now and again we should send him out, but he had a really good show.
He did indeed, And it's great to have you back. So, Nettie, tell us, Happy New Year to you,
first of all.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us once again on the Business Bunker Show. You've brought an interesting guest with us this time, haven't you?
Building your heart up now.
Yeah, but you've got to be on your best behaviour this week.
Well, I can only try. Yeah. I can only try.
I know, it's not working very well so far.
Brought my boss with me.
I know.
Now, that's never happened before, has it, Brad?
It hasn't.
And now I've found out that you've never been on the radio before. So if he doesn't enjoy this, I may not have a
good
2018.
You could be in trouble. You could be in big trouble here, Nettie.
I know.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself? Give him a big build-up and then maybe you'll get away with it.
Yeah. Well, what do I say? This is Brad. Mm. He's our MD at Rift. He's in charge of everything Rift.
Yeah, cool.
He took over as MD last January, and he's absolutely delighted to come and join us today on the radio. Look at that face. Look at that face. To talk about Rift and all the different things that we do. And obviously this month is tax return month.
It's a biggie for us. All hands to the pump.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody digging their shoeboxes out with their receipts in.
Absolutely. And there's also other things going on, such as Kiba, that we can talk about and so on and so forth. So, lots going on at Rift.
Thank you for that intro.
I'll let you talk to Brad.
Thank you. Brad, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thanks for the invite, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm glad we could invite you, and I'm glad you came along, and I hope you do enjoy your first experience of radio. This is radio like no other radio, obviously, so it's of not much use to you anywhere else, but do enjoy it. Brad, can you kick off by telling us a little bit about you? We're going to talk about Rift and all the things you do, and there's a lot of things that you do in Rift these days. We'll talk about that in a minute. Give us a little bit of background into you. What's your background? And your interests outside of Rift?
Okay, so I started my career as a management consultant.
Right, okay.
Working for Accenture, a big global company. I was employee 1 billion or whatever it was at the time. And I was working with a lot of clients. I'd worked there for about 10 years.
Right.
And I was doing the commute.
Right.
So I was in Faversham commuting up to London.
Right.
And it's soul destroying.
Yeah, absolutely.
My mum started the business Rift back in 99, and for about 2 years before I joined, she'd been asking me to go and join the firm. And I'd always sort of thought about carving a career for myself in London. We had a house there for a long time, then moved out to start a family. But I got to a sort of that crossroads in life. And started to then take more of an interest in that family sort of business and saw such potential of what we were doing. We were scratching the surface of what we could be doing. We'd started to get some really good material out and there was a really niche market for what we were doing. So I took the leap and joined the family business. That was sort of 7 years ago.
Right, okay.
Took over as MD January 17.
Last year.
That's where we are now. Yeah. And it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aside from the two children, obviously, if they're listening.
But it's interesting, though, isn't it? Being involved in a family business, one of the nice things is that you had a career before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes you see people involved in a family business that have not ever worked anywhere else, and that can be quite difficult. Then.
I think so. They know no difference.
Yeah,
And I think it was still hard for me having to prove myself.
Mm.
You know, so when I joined, I was employee number 34. Mm. We've now got 170.
Mm. Right.
So going from into a very small business,
mm.
And particularly going from Accenture, where it was thousands, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
But I still had to prove myself. I still had to show that I was worthy of becoming the MD and leading the business and taking it forward to the next.
And that's always difficult in a family setting, isn't it?
It
because people assume all kinds of things about why you've got the job that you've got.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and what are your interests outside of work?
So, two children, nine and four.
Right, okay.
Sorry, Freddie. So, they take up huge amounts of time.
Yeah.
But they're at a great age. Freddie's getting into a lot of his sports now.
Right.
So, ferrying him yeah, around.
Touchline dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Bella just goes with the flow. She'll go wherever Freddie goes.
Cool.
So, that takes up a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's family.
What's your favourite sport yourself?
Love watching rugby.
Mm-hmm.
As a sport, I played hockey.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Throughout school, throughout university, so trying to get Freddie into that.
My oldest son was a National League hockey player.
Very good.
Yeah. So I've never, I've actually played hockey twice in my life. Yeah, both when I was very old, and my scoring rate is immense. Yeah, my scoring average is one goal every 5 minutes I've ever played.
And how many minutes have you played?
That's five.
That's because he was. That's because he was in the goal.
No, it wasn't.
Own goal.
but my oldest son was a big hockey player and played hockey for many, many years. He's retired now. That's how old I am.
Oh,
he's retired. Yeah. Anyway, Brad, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell us and tell the listeners about the types of different things that Rift Group do, because mm-hmm. you've got a range of businesses. And as you identified, you know, when you joined the business, you saw the potential to do lots of things. But some of the interesting things you do are quite niche businesses, aren't they? Or you do things in a niche area. Yeah.
So our core business has all been around these tax refunds for people who travel to a temporary place of work. So lots of construction workers, lots of armed forces personnel. They're our two biggest sectors.
Yeah.
But it's a real niche area.
Mm.
So it's all about people who use their own vehicle and drive to a temporary place of work.
Yeah.
And they don't get reimbursed the full 45p per mile.
Right.
So lots of employers do pay that, but many don't.
Yeah.
And that's where we step in. We help individuals understand what they're entitled to and help them claim refunds. Typically, we go back 4 years, and we get about £600 to £800 per year. So, first claim is about £2,500.
Okay, that's cool. So, are those claims with their employers, or are they mostly self-employed people that can claim it back from HMRC, as it were?
So, all of it's claimed back from HMRC.
Okay,
Which is great. So, it's all overpaid tax,
right? Okay,
in essence. But a lot of the people are PAYE.
Yeah.
But they just don't get reimbursed the full allowance.
Right.
Obviously, self-employed people, and particularly coming up to January 31st, tax return deadline day. I've got a few stats that I'll throw at you.
Yeah, go for
in
it.
A bit.
I like a stat.
So there's lots of people. So 11.4 million people have to do a self-assessment tax return each year.
Wow.
Any ideas how many people missed the deadline?
11.3 million.
Oh, I'm loving the quiz.
Yeah.
40%.
I need a number. No, that's way too high.
Yeah, yeah. 200,000.
Oh, 100,000. Let's go half.
Letty, you want to have a go?
I reckon it's somewhere in the middle.
It's 840,000.
Really? Don't fill it in time.
Who missed the deadline, yeah. So there were some new fines introduced as well.
Mm.
People are aware of that. So if you miss the deadline, it's a £100 instant fine, even if you owe no money.
Yep.
Or even if HMRC owe you money, you get £100. So that's £84 million that HMRC earned.
by earned, yeah, quite, in inverted commas.
What a great business model.
So we go back to willpower.
Yeah.
Why are people
not
filling
not doing it?
Yeah.
I think it's all a fear of dealing with HMRC.
Yeah, I'm absolutely right. Absolutely. You couldn't be more right if you tried. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? Is so many of us are bad at paperwork anyway.
Yeah.
So many of us are bad at arithmetic and adding things up. And then when you add on top of that, you're terrified of doing the wrong thing and getting on the wrong side. My old dad, bless him, I lost my dad in the middle of last year. And my dad had a building company for years and years and years and years and years. But he was also disabled. And had been disabled from birth, and he was deaf, so he struggled with, you know, stuff like that, and he was so mortified that he would get on the wrong side of the tax authorities, especially working in construction, because back in the day, the tax people hated people in construction, because you had, you know, the black stuff and all that stuff going on where people weren't paying their taxes. My dad used to go and pay his taxes 8 months in advance, and he paid it in cash, so he knew that they had it. And HMRC used to get really annoyed with him when he'd turn up at a local tax office and offer to pay his tax in advance. But he was terrified of getting it wrong. And I think you're absolutely right, Brad, you know. And, but then how do 800,000 people miss the deadline? It's not as if they don't know, is it?
No.
They definitely get notified.
Well, do you have any thoughts on, you know, I mean, so many people in the last week have been going, oh, tax return by the end of I must do my account. So everybody knows. Do you have any thoughts on how they actually managed to miss the deadline? Is it because they've forgotten and haven't done it, do you think? Or is it because they keep leaving it and leaving it and leaving it until the last minute, and then all of a sudden they realise they don't have all the data, or, you know, they can't fill it in or whatever, or, you know, it just takes too long? What do you think?
So I think a lot of people, if you put a deadline in front of them, they work to that.
Yeah, and so
they'll hold on and hold on and hold on. Mm. And there'll be lots of people who then suddenly circumstances will come in and they'll miss that deadline because hospital, whatever it could be, just personal circumstance gets in the way.
Yeah.
I think there are also other people that just genuinely don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so they know that deadline's looming. They get there and they still haven't figured out what to do and it just lapses.
Mm.
But the fines are incredible. So after 3 months, if you still haven't sorted your tax return out, you start incurring £10 fine per day.
Mm. Per day?
Per day.
Right. The next 90 days.
Blimey.
So if you then get to 6 months, that's £1,000 fine.
Right.
You then get another £300.
It's a loss of sprint money for HMRC, this, isn't it?
You still go on, and if you go for a year, it's another £300, so it's £1,600 as a fine just for missing that deadline. And even if you don't owe any money, so you might be there going, but I don't owe them anything, so I don't need to submit tax return. But unfortunately, if HMRC have asked you...
You have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's very little you can do about that.
Mm. I suppose the question is how can we support those 800,000 to support their taxes? How can we do that?
Yeah, so there's... there's lots of companies like ours that will provide that service. I think there's a wider education piece, and HMRC, I think, are trying to get there. They're moving a lot of stuff digitally. So they have a big campaign around making tax digital.
Yep.
So it's about individuals having their own online tax account, a bit like an online bank account.
Yeah.
They are several years behind that curve of the banks.
Mm.
But I think they've got such a complex legacy set of systems that trying to get those to talk to each other is so complicated.
Yep.
And that's what's been holding them back, plus all the political side that they have to do.
Sure. Yeah.
I also think they've suffered in the past with a PR sort of issue. So if you think back a few years ago, there were all the billboards with the eyes just peering out of you, saying, "We're coming to get you."
Yeah.
So from the instant, so no one likes HMRC.
Absolutely.
Because of that attitude of "We're coming to get you." They've started to soften that. So campaigns this year all around farmyard animals sort of prodding you. But they've got a long way to go.
Sure.
In terms of, I think, getting people on side and people wanting to deal directly with HMRC. So if people aren't confident about dealing directly, then they need to either use a friend, a family, or a service that can keep
them. Well, let's talk about the service that Rift offer. Give us an overview of the kind of things that you can provide to people.
So right from the outset, we'll have an online form, just a simple questionnaire to see whether you actually need to do a tax return.
Right.
That. So you can just go on there. It's on our Rift Refund site, and you can simply click through, and you'll know one way or another whether you need to do a tax return.
Okay.
So that's part one, and that's obviously free to use, and that'll give you some confidence whether you need to do one or not. And then we will do a tax return service. So last year we processed or did 45,000 tax returns.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So we know how to do a tax return.
That's handy.
Okay, so we do them at bulk. We do them very quickly. we know what we're looking for. And when you think about doing a tax return, there's all manner of things you have to take into consideration: people's incomes, how much tax they've already paid. And there's lots of people who fall into the category of needing to do a tax return that might not know.
Right.
So you've got your standard sort of self-employed individuals. They all know they have to do one. But you start to get a few other people that sort of creep into the net. And I think this is going to come more and more, will be people who have an income from things like selling stuff on eBay.
Yep, sure.
So it's a little side project.
Yep.
Airbnb becoming more prevalent.
Yep.
Of people renting out their houses, getting an income. Yep. They don't see that as an income.
No, exactly.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they're starting to earn over £2,500, that's money that HMRC want declared and yep. tax paid on it.
Yep.
There's individuals, so if you or your partner earn over £50,000 and are still claiming child benefit allowance, that will start to need to be paid back.
Right.
So you have to do a tax return if you're still claiming that child benefit.
Right.
You have to declare that on a tax return. So there's lots and lots of little nuances of people who start to get picked up. And then if HMRC just decide they want to look at your affairs,
yep.
because they think you've underpaid tax in the past, they'll issue a tax return.
Absolutely. Cool. So, 45,000. Nice. okay, so you can do tax returns for people. And it really is, with Brad saying that you could, if you don't do it and you continually don't do it, you can end up paying £1,600 to HMRC for just missing the deadline. And you still got to pay the tax. It's not as if you get away with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's not a bargain.
Yeah,
you really
yeah. It's not.
It.
So, paying a specialist to do it is really the answer, really, isn't it?
So I've got an interesting client we had, came to us in October last year, missed all the deadlines. Was £1,300 in fines. So he came to us October, didn't know what he was doing, buried his head in the sand.
Right.
So we helped gather all the information he had. We then uncovered that he actually had a refund as part of what he was doing.
Right.
So we cleared all of that off. So come December, I think on the 23rd, got everything, we submitted to HMRC, and we got him a refund that not only cleared off his £1,300 fine, it also left him with a refund of £1,500.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
So there is money there
that
HMRC won't publicise.
No, absolutely.
Title T.
Yeah.
And I think using, in that sort of, it might be an isolated case, I'm not saying we get refunds for everyone, but there's money that you can claim back for that you probably don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact is, if you haven't paid attention to your tax affairs, you don't know what situation you're in. You might owe more, but you might not. Yeah, and that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very clear from HMRC that you as a taxpayer are responsible for your tax affairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they are not there to mother you.
Yeah.
They're there to get that tax.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not going to tell you what you can claim, basically. Absolutely. But you are, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Because, as you said, you started your business in a niche business, helping people reclaim money that was owed to them for travelling to places of work. Tell us about some of the other things that the Rift Group does, Brad.
Yeah, so we started to think about how we might diversify because it's such a niche area.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we wanted to grow the group. So two key areas then came out. One was R&D tax credits.
Yep.
And the other was Rift Accounting.
Yep.
So both of them operating. So accounting is known about. We've had accountants for a long time. But we looked around and thought there's a better way of providing this sort of service. So going with ClearBooks, so accounting, online accounting software from the start, and just making ourselves far more savvy and supporting businesses more than what we saw as the traditional accountants of we'll see you once a year and you'll give us your books and we'll tell you how much you owe and the tax you have to pay in. And it will all be hidden fees. You won't know how much it's going to cost. So trying to be upfront from the outset, monthly fees. And then the key USP for us was around a quarterly business review.
Right. Okay.
So actually really working with the businesses to make them successful.
Right.
Because ultimately, if they're successful, they'll be in business longer.
Right. Yeah.
We'll be their accountant for longer.
Absolutely.
And it's win-win.
Yeah.
So that was a real... key drive, and hence Netty sort of leading that with Chris, to really work with local businesses and make them successful.
Absolutely.
And then our R&D tax credits was a real shift from sort of working with a B2C community going to B2B. And that was interesting in itself. We had a huge amount of lessons learned in that space, trying to apply the same models that work for B2C to B2B. It just doesn't cross over. And that was absolutely really interesting. From an outsider's perspective, living it at the time wasn't. But in hindsight, it was great business sort of experience to go through. But this is a really excellent scheme. And HMRC do publicise this a little bit more. But it's keeping in line with the sense of getting a tax refund back. So we know how to work with HMRC. We know there are refunds available. So R&D tax credits is all about working with innovative companies and helping them recover money they spend on that product development.
It's interesting, isn't it? Rift, quite a while ago, now a few years ago now, did an R&D tax refund for me, which worked very well. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it, about R&D tax credits? It's something that the government are very keen on. But when you tell people, they don't always quite believe it. You know, would you like some cash back from the tax man? And they go, yeah, really? But it is. And I read a statistic once, and you may have better stats than this because I make a lot of mine up, that the government estimate that for every £1 million they return in tax credits, they make £4 million in new investments and new tax takes. So that's why they've extended the scheme and started to publicise it more. But it's surprising, isn't it, how many people don't think that they do R&D unless they've got someone in a white coat in a lab.
Exactly that.
Yeah,
and I think one of the real untapped areas that we're hoping to work a lot more with is the construction sector. So these construction companies deal with problems day in, day out. But they just see it as part of what they do. They build stuff, they do stuff, they solve problems. They don't see that as R&D because they don't see it as developing.
They didn't do it in a lab. Absolutely.
So that's a really interesting space to be operating in. And it's really great working with a lot of really interesting, dynamic businesses who are doing some really interesting, innovative stuff.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Get some money back.
Talking about that as well, kind of tying things together, when you were talking about ClearBooks, Tim Foraker, the founder of ClearBooks, was on the radio show 2 years ago. Tim's taken a sabbatical from ClearBooks now because he's working on this really, really interesting project. I don't know if you've seen
it's
this
the
project.
Cards, isn't it?
It's the card. It's where your entire business operates off of one credit card. And as far as I understand it, the idea behind it is every time you spend everything, it updates your books instantly when you spend the money.
I think that's the end goal.
The end goal is that, as a business, it's only for businesses, for small businesses, is that you have a card and then you spend your card, you use it online or do whatever, and it just updates your books as you spend it.
So it's like a feeder, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ClearBooks bit is a feeder in where it starts to work its way through, just like your bank does.
Yeah, amazing. Shoebox sales could fall through the floor. If you're in shoeboxes, get out now. It's got no future.
Wasn't it? Because we had Phil on, didn't we? Was it October time with ClearBooks? And he was saying the same thing, that people cannot keep avoiding this whole software bit. And it works the same with R&D. It's so much easier if they've got that stuff and they work with our guys and know exactly what information we want them to keep separately in their accounts.
I think the world is moving far more digitally.
Oh, absolutely.
HMRC have held back for so long, but now they have this huge agenda, making tax digital for individuals and for businesses. And whilst that may have been put back a couple of years, because I think it's such a complicated thing they're trying to do, it will happen. And the quicker every business, every individual embraces that, the better for everyone.
Brett, can I ask... You came into the company.
Yeah.
Was your vision the same as the vision that was already in the centre of the business? And where are you taking it now?
My mum, I don't know if you've ever met my mum. She's hugely entrepreneurial. Trying to sort of contain that
She might listen.
That was very democratically
all of those brilliant ideas. So the vision, it's really hard to say, because I think when I joined, there wasn't a 5-year plan. There wasn't anything. We were going year to year, and I found an old presentation we did the first year I joined, and just looking at the numbers that we were doing, so like celebrating, we had done 5,000 claims. I mean, down 45,000. It's just a totally different beast from what it was to what it's become. So I think where it will go. So my mum's the chair. She's still very heavily involved, and she's almost in an ideas factory. So she will come up with lots and lots of ideas and throw them at the wall.
And do you control
we'll catch
her?
Them. No.
You can't. Right, interesting.
You can't control ideas, people.
No, exactly.
You can't.
Yeah.
But what you can do is take them and very quickly work out whether they're a viable idea or not. And so we now are trying to sort of have that sort of rapid turnaround. Here's an idea. Let's go. Let's explore it. Let's see if there's any business mileage in it. And if there is, we'll invest more. And we'll invest more.
Interesting.
Or if there's none, let's kick it to the curb, and then and another one is bound to come out. So it's about constantly managing those ideas.
And being the CEO, has it been what you thought it was going to be?
Yes, I guess I was being groomed, shall we say.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be, isn't it?
Exactly.
To be honest with you, that's the way it should be with all these companies.
For the year beforehand, I was very much sort of prominent and sort of leading it, albeit behind the scenes. So I was making a lot of the decisions, sort of shaping where we were going, the teams we had around us and what we were trying to do. So that year sort of in the shadows enabled me just to, in that first year, just carry on through where we were heading. So there weren't any big shifts. It's not the sort of company that needs to make those big dramatic changes. We're on a very good path. So it's all about how do we maintain that as a growing company. So now with 170 staff, that's 170 peoples to feed, keep their mortgage going.
Absolutely.
That's a quite big responsibility. So that aspect of it I probably was unprepared for. So that additional pressure to make sure that we're still keeping everyone in a job. And that's when you talk about, is it a daily struggle? Every day is a struggle to make sure that people stay motivated, with we're keeping on that focus, keeping on that right trajectory.
How do you overcome stuff?
It's a coaching session.
No, I find it really interesting. Because, to have a leader like you, I want to know what makes you do what you do. How do you overcome stuff?
So, overcome the challenges.
Whatever.
So we've got a great team as our directors. So we work very closely together. It helps that we're all in the same location. And we will meet every day just to go through whatever the challenges are. So that's one aspect. I have a mentor as well, who I bounce ideas off, who is just that sounding board to go, am I doing the right thing? In that sort of safe space, who knows the business, but who can also then just say, stop doing what you're doing, ask these questions and all that sort of thing. So,
love it.
Brad, thank you so much for that. Sadly, we've kind of run out of time. We're right at the end of the show. But Brad Post, Managing Director of Rickroot, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure and a fascinating discussion. We've had loads of tweets while you were on the air. I'm just going to read one because I know a bit about the background to this, and it's from Chris Hyde. He says, I agree with Brad from Rift Accounting. HMRC have been had a poor reputation in the past, and it's not been helped when you get snotty letters when it's not your fault. I happen to know because Chris rang me late one night saying, I've just been threatened with court by HMRC for not paying my tax, and I've paid it. And as it was, HMRC had actually credited it to the wrong place, and they did actually apologise to him, but they were quite brutal up front. So, Brad, thank you so much for that.
It's a pleasure.
And sorry to have to cut you a bit short, but we are right out of time now. I've got a couple.